Hello, and welcome to the Salisbury Pediatric Associate Health and Wellness Newsletter Audiocast. I'm your host, Dr. M, and this is Volume 14, Letter 14, which corresponds with the week of March 18, 2024. Hi, good to see you all today on the airwaves. I hope all is well, and let's get into some conversations about allergy. This is allergy season. There's a lot going on in the world of North Carolina's pollen leaving the trees and heading into people's noses and making them feel rough. This is a time for prevention and preparation in order to avoid the large volumes of mucus that's going to develop and cause secondary infections, which unfortunately we are seeing a lot of in clinic, which is not good for the long term. So, allergy season and school. What's your plan? So, as spring is approaching, you know, and we're starting to see more and more and more of the pollen on our cars, and again, the Carolinas, my black car is green. You know, we're starting to know that kids are going to be back, you know, dealing with this in school. They're back outside playing a lot in sports and at school playgrounds and all over the place. And so they are now going to be exposed to lots of pollen that can get into their nose if they are susceptible to it and develop an IgE-mediated reaction, which they then feel sort of rough. So for the parents of allergy-suffering kids, this is your time for checkups, understanding what medicines and supplements you need to take, countless forms that are required for school. I know, it's a pain in the butt, but it's real. The goal for parents and educators at schools in general is to limit the time missed in school for kids and the unproductive school days due to asthma and allergies, and to get the most out of the learning environment for kids when they are there. So for me, my goal is to help children be symptom-free, or as close to that as possible, while also focusing on reducing mucus development, which is a direct precursor to bacterial sinus and bacterial ear infections, for which, again, we are seeing way too many. So my goal is to work together to make sure that all of our children susceptible to allergic disease problems stay healthy. So in my mind, what are the important tips? One, start all medicines, herbs, and treatments before the season of the child's trigger allergens begin. Compliance is the key to success with all things, especially when it comes to asthma medicines. The prevention-based medicines, this is not albuterol, not the beta agonist, not the one that acts for 4 hours to quickly open your lungs. We're talking more about the steroids or some of the medicines like montelukast. They are the key to avoiding flares in the first place, avoiding missed school days for the child and work for the parent. Always use the medicines as directed, including and absolutely most importantly with the spacer device if it's an inhaler. I don't care who you are, how old you are, the physics of the delivery of the medicine from the inhaler is such that if you don't use your spacer, you are wasting a lot of the medicine in your mouth, number one. Number two, you're getting the systemic effects because it's absorbed into the bloodstream. And number three, you may get thrush in your mouth. None of these are good. Use your spacer every time. In my mind, this is one of the main pieces that is critical to success. Compliance with meds and functional use the way they're supposed to be. Number two, help your children know what they react to and teach them to avoid the triggers. Think of a glass of water as a glass of triggers. If it is overflowing, then you're sick. Therefore, if you eliminate some of the water via trigger avoidance, then you can exercise or even catch a viral cold and still avoid an overflow state, i.e. wheezing or congestion that is rough. Three, if your child is taking sublingual allergy prevention drops, which I do like, then make sure that they are taking them as directed, which is usually 3 times a day. This therapy remains an immune system training mechanism, so the immune system won't react. Allergy Choices in La Crosse, Wisconsin is one of the companies I love that provides an excellent service for those looking to start this kind of therapy. Four, discuss your child's triggers with his or her teacher in order to avoid the issues that are in the coming year. Five, visit the school classroom and attempt to identify known triggers and have them eliminated if possible, i.e. mold. Six, if your child has food allergy, there is a critical education need for the school and the cafeteria employees to be aware of food allergen triggers. Have your child meet with the staff so as to encourage a sense of comfort in asking questions when he or she is in the food line. This way, also, the cafeteria employees will know your child and the potential of what their risks are. Make sure that your child understands the risks of food trading. Many anaphylactic events occur because of unsuspected food trading. Seven, emergency plans are key to survival for food allergies and asthma or the combination. Kids with food allergies that have asthma have much worse problems. So if they're struggling with pollen season, they're inflamed to begin with, their asthma's flared up, and they have a food allergy reaction, they're more likely to die. This is a big deal. So again, have a prevention and treatment plan in place with your nurse, your teacher, your child, your coach, your staff, anyone that is a part of your child's day at school. Number 8, look into different supplements. I love DHIST. That is an herbal supplement that has quercetin, bromelain, and stinging nettles in it. Those are all very good quality herbs that help decrease the inflammatory response from allergic reactions. Zyflamend is another blend of herbs that has curcumin in it, which again helps to keep the inflammation down. 9, as always, an anti-inflammatory diet is the key to reducing inflammatory gasoline food sources in the body that worsens all disease. The children that I take care of that eat healthy are much less prone to major problems. The standard American highly ultra-processed diet is the key to getting sick more frequently. Daily, it starts with the gut. Diet is the key. Dramatically increase your consumption of colored vegetables and fruits of and the micronutrients that are loaded with green leafy vegetables and berries are highest on the list of beneficial foods. Lots of fiber promotes healthy bacteria that dampen the immune response and the immune system and enhance healing. Reduce large volumes of animal protein intake, which can overstimulate the immune system and keep the body inflamed. Always choose grass-fed and hormone-free meats. When you ingest beef that is finished with corn, you are more likely to have inflammation of your gut and worsen your allergies. Same issue with farm-raised fish. Avoid dairy where possible. Dairy is the most common food trigger of mucus production that I see in my clinic, bar none. 10, consider high-quality probiotic like Therbiotic to gut health. Vitamin D and zinc sufficiency are very important for a healthy immune system. I highly encourage people to get their micronutrients tested, especially a red blood cell label red blood cell label zinc and copper, and then a vitamin D and ferritin, looking at where you are. 11, a very useful therapy is nasal washing. Use a neti pot or sinus rinse with sterile water to clear out allergens twice daily. Consider a shower to wash off pollen after being outdoors for a while. Use high-quality house filters and consider a HEPA filter machine in your child's bedroom. 12, consuming omega-3 fats as fish oil or small oily fish in your diet is a good way to reduce the eicosanoid inflammatory overload and allergies. Americans are flooded with omega-6 fats. These come from our typical seed oils, and they're pro-inflammatory. It's a good thing if you have normal volumes of them. It's a bad thing if you have a ton of them. And our diet is very insufficient in the beneficial omega-3 fats, which are the real high-quality docosahexaenoic acid and eicosapentaenoic acid, which are very good for us. Again, I will repeat, I'm a big fan of sublingual immune therapy, which has been proven to be very helpful in our clinic, especially with children with eczema, asthma, and recurrent ear infections. These disorders often have underlying allergic causes or food intolerance causes, and I have been using Slit with my patients for years with great results. Every once in a while, I have a child who doesn't respond, and those are tough cases, but that's life. We don't know who is going to be perfect, but most do. We know that treating children for specific allergies, including dust mites, pollen, and food, can significantly benefit conditions such as eczema and allergic rhinitis. So, be planned, be prepared, be ready, and suffer less. Section 2, aging. A really interesting article in Scientific American, one of my favorite journals, looked at vacuoles and aging. We are seeing some incredible basic science research looking at the garbage basket of a cell called a vacuole. Interesting name. Vacuole. But not sure. Don't remember from my basic science histology courses why they called it a vacuole. Historically, it was believed to only grab and degrade intracellular debris. However, new research from Dr. Gotchling and others have shown a different view that is turning out to be part of the aging story. Vacuoles have an acid, active transport gradient on the organelle surface that moves hydrogen back and forth to change the cell's pH as needed for function. This allows for amino acids to be moved around as needed for protein function and degradation. The net result is the cell's ability to provide nutrients for cell division and replication, a critical part of human growth over time. This activity, if hampered, can cause a buildup of intracellular amino acids and a changed pH that can damage mitochondria and begin cellular senescence. From the article, quote, the researchers found that the loss of vacuolar acidity means that the amino acid transporters on the vacuole membrane can't do their job. This leads to an uncontrolled release of amino acids in the cytosol, which poisons the mitochondria. Too much of an amino acid cysteine botches up the formation of iron sulfur clusters that are essential to mitochondrial function. Mitochondria need iron to make the energy-carrying molecule adenosine triphosphate, or ATP. Without the iron sulfur clusters, mitochondrial function becomes severely compromised. The mitochondria begin to produce large amounts of reactive oxygen species, which lead to aging and defects in DNA repair. And quote, Collier et al. From the Scientific American article. The key question that needs to be answered is this. What is causing the change in pH activity? I will bet that it's inflammation and immune activation in inappropriate times and ways. We've seen this with the HDL and LDL stories, that the function of those molecules decreases in an inflammatory state. And we know what drives that inflammatory state. It is the combination of the lifestyle factors we've talked about ad nauseum forever. Bad food, chemical exposure, stress, lack of exercise, poor sleep, and on and on. Okay, something I wrote 10 years ago and still rings true in section 3 I'm going to read. Eastern philosophies on work ethic have always intrigued me. After watching Netflix's newest docudrama on Kublai Khan and Marco Polo, I was struck by a statement made by the Kung Fu teacher, 100 Eyes. Quote, practice, preparation, endless repetition, until your mind is weary, until you're too achy to move, too tired to sweat, and too wasted to breathe. That is Kung Fu. End quote. Although this is a cliched statement, he goes on to say that basically anyone can have Kung Fu. From the sweeper of the floor to the best athlete, the essence is the quality of one's effort and product. Medicine fits this ideal perfectly. Practice and preparation will ultimately lead to good health in patients and the healer. The great practitioners shun stagnating medical convention and seek healing and truth despite the obstacles that exist in any bureaucracy. We are seeing this bureaucracy more and more, with now insurance-dictated treatment plans that do not take into account the individual at all. I love the current trailblazers that are seeking truth through cure, through gut microbial transplants, through microbiome shifts, through diet and probiotics, through all the ways that go way upstream. They have no desire to follow the non-individualized protocols, also the pharmacomanagement, without looking at the why. In recent past, this was considered voodoo. These physicians are practicing and preparing ad nauseum to produce the next generation of healing tools. What little shifts are you ready for? Practice and prepare your meals daily with vigor and think of the perfection in repetition with quality vegetables and fruits that will produce a healthy gut that leads to great health. Based on some recent readings, I've started to make sandwiches using romaine lettuce as my bread. It works quite well. Give it a try. All right, folks, that's it for this week. Song of the week is You Worry Me by Nathaniel Ratliff. I highly encourage you to, as always, hug those kids. The information provided in this audio-casted newsletter is for the educational informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for advice and or treatment provided by your physician or other healthcare professional and is not to be used to diagnose or treat a health issue and does not constitute the formation of provider-patient relationship. Have a great day.